today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, if that's the kind of accent you're doing, Chris, please.
I was trying to do an Arabic accent, but it didn't work.
Don't quit your day job.
Okay.
I think this is your day job, so we're stuck with that. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Philip Imbrogno, we're talking about the djinn, and it looks like possibly Philip came up close and personal to one of these creatures, but at least you got out of there safely. Have you had any other close encounters of this sort?
Not me, no.
I've encountered entities in some of my investigations that we feel are quite certain are djinn. And you were asking a little earlier, you know, how do you know the difference? And sometimes it's by a process of elimination. It depends on the behavior of the entity, the kinds of things that it acts out doing against human beings. They tend to be, if they're powerful enough, very resistant to efforts to dislodge them or to exorcise them. They will engage in conversation, as Phil mentioned. We have some cases in our files that we've been tracking for quite some time. People who are living in what we call paranormal hot zones or portal areas, where there's a lot of different kinds of entity activities, and it seems that djinn are able to lodge in these areas and sort of have a foot in two worlds, so to speak, where they're in their own dimension and yet they can have a territorial hold in ours. They are behind haunting disturbances of tremendous magnitude. They can create ghost and poltergeist phenomena. They manifest as shadow people. We get EVP with them, electronic voice phenomena, mysterious lights, mysterious creatures, and entities that some people would say are demonic. But we stress that, you know, demons are not the same as djinn. So sometimes people think that they're really dealing with demonic cases. And, in fact, we've discussed these with our demonologist friend, John Zaffis, who's one of the leading demonologists around. He's been investigating for about 30-some years, and he has many cases in his files that people thought were demons, but they just fell into an unexplained category because the entities didn't behave like demons, and they couldn't be gotten rid of the way we usually get rid of demons. So it becomes very problematic sometimes to identify exactly what we're dealing with, especially when you have a race of beings like the djinn who can shapeshift into a variety of forms, so they can keep changing their guise.
The fast question occurs to me here, the djinn. Is it all magic that they do things, or do they have some kind of technology, some innate technology that they use to accomplish this? You know, some kind of highly advanced technology that allows for the shape-shifting and all the other crazy things.
Well, it's both, but it's not magic. They have certain devices and certain things which can manipulate matter and energy to a certain degree. For example, like I said, they have to understand, they have to learn, and they're taught the different arrangements of matter, how strings create the elementary particles and how the elementary particles combine together to make protons and so on. They just can't snap their fingers and gold appears and something like that. They have to rearrange the strings and rearrange matter in order to change one form to another. Now, for the most part, most of the powerful djinn and the advanced djinn, the knowledgeable djinn, they have the ability, because they are a plasma and they have a certain amount of energy in a magnetic field, to actually go into solid molecular structure and rearrange the atomic structure into something that they want to turn it into. And in the old days, you know, djinn would grab glass, hold it in its hand, and open its hand for the person, and it would be gold. And the person would say, "Oh, it's magic." But you see, today we can understand that one form of matter can be turned into another form by changing the vibration of the strings that make up the elementary particles in the universe. So we're actually catching up to the jinn. But see, according to what I understand and heard in the Middle East, jinn are very, very impressed with the human race. For example, they're amazed that we can build things like computers and TVs, and that we're such limited beings that we have this knowledge to do all of these things now. And actually, they consider us a threat to a certain degree. One of the things you have to remember that jinn are plasma beings. They're contained by magnetic fields. This is what I'm assuming from what I'm hearing. So they're very susceptible to electromagnetic pulses. One of the reasons is that they're afraid that the human race is going to develop some type of technology which is going to affect them where they are and destroy them. So this is why, for example, they're keeping an eye on us. There are many people in the Middle East and even in this country who do believe that we're being spied upon from a distance and watched for many, many centuries, watching us develop and keeping an eye on us so we don't get out of hand.
Well, that brings up a follow-up question that I had concerning a very tantalizing bit of information that you relayed in that there seems to be, according to rumor, a concerted effort by the Western military, I guess, intelligence powers to capture a jinn. Can you shed any more light on that particular assertion?
Because, you know, when I was over in the Middle East, and not only did I hear it at the dinner table from a member of the royal family, when I was in Oman and Finn in the Hadjar Mountains, in the village, I encountered a person who spoke really good English. He was a teacher, but he lived in Oman. He was educated in the United States, and he liked to go hiking in the Hadjar Mountains, which is very beautiful, by the way. And he said one day he was hiking in a certain area, and he came across, he saw a black portal open up, and he saw a jinniyah with her child. A jinniyah is a female jinn. And according to the beliefs there, when a jinniyah is with its child, it's very protective. He saw the jinniyah, and her eyes looked at him like, you know, I'm going to kill you if you even make a move. And he became very terrified, and he ran. Now, as he's trying to get away, he's running over the hill. He says, jeeps came over and helicopters came over. And he said, they picked him up, and it was military men. He said they were Saudis. He said they were Americans. He said they were Europeans. They brought him to what he said a base of operations in the Hadjar Mountains, and they took him into a room and they debriefed him exactly what he saw, where he saw it, and he said he was more afraid of these individuals who were humans than he was of the jinniyah that he saw. He wouldn't tell me much more information after that because he was afraid they were going to come and get him if he revealed too much information. But this is, once again, this is operation I'm hearing about governments of the world trying to capture a jinn. Now, over in Pine Bush, New York, back in the 90s, there was a lot of UFO sightings, a lot of strange creatures appearing, and also. Now, one day and one evening, it happened on a number of occasions, the military came in, blocked off an entire area, knocked on the doors of people, and told them to stay inside their homes. Do not come out. People were looking out and seeing helicopters coming down, people, all kinds of military vehicles coming up, and something was going on. They told them it was just a training exercise. Now, with all of that activity taking place there in the Hudson Valley, my contacts told me that this is before I went to Saudi Arabia, that there was a dimensional being transversing the dimensions in a portal in the Pine Bush area, and there was a special unit in the military that was specially trained to capture it and take its technology. So that's from three different sources that I've heard it in my own investigations.
I'll tell you what, we'll pursue those investigations in far more detail as we explore the legends and the possible reality of the vengeful jinn with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip Imbrogno. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best-tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
As we continue, we're well into our second hour of the show with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip Imbrogno. We're exploring the vengeful djinn, the legends of the genies, supernatural beings from possibly a parallel dimension. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast, and we have co-host Chris O'Brien, who's going to pick up on the questioning. Chris?
one of the things that kind of comes through fairly loudly here is this whole idea of the subterranean element with the djinn, and the fact that it does appear that they tend to prefer, according to the tradition, subterranean spaces, caves, underground tunnel systems, that sort of thing. I know, Phil, you were involved in digging into some, pardon the pun, into some pretty interesting cavern systems in the Pine Bush area that you were just talking about in the Hudson River Valley area. And you did relate, your experience spelunking into one of the largest caves, I think, on the planet. Correct me if I'm wrong. What is the connection between this subterranean element that you find in fairy lore, in other traditional types of lore that has to do with caves? What is the connection there, do you think?
Well, that's one for Rosemary. She's more versed on that.
There are a number of connections, Chris. There's a very strong association between djinn and fairies. And, in fact, I think that this is one of their favorite forms that they've adopted, especially in the past, because fairies have a similar story. They were the original inhabitants of this earth, and they lost out to human beings, not quite in the same way, but the same result. They lost out. They lost their place, and they retreated to another place to live. And for fairies, this was another dimension that was accessed underground. There were these openings in tree roots and in mounds that led across this what seemed to be a magical threshold to the parallel dimension where fairies lived, all underground. And time passed differently. Spaces opened up into small spaces, would open up into huge ways, almost like the TARDIS in Doctor Who. You know, you go into the police box and it opens up into a huge thing. And we found in a lot of our investigations that these portal areas that are terrifically haunted, and with djinn, we believe, often have caves, major sources of underground water, tunnels, like old abandoned mine shafts. And in lore, these underground passageways have long been associated with transit points between the spirit realms and our realms, that spirits have a way of traveling through them. And then, of course, we have the reptilian association. Reptilians, which are lumped in with extraterrestrials a lot, may not really be ETs, but ultra-terrestrials, beings from another dimension. And they're said to live underground, too, of course, like snakes would, because snakes have holes in the ground. And the reptilians would be a favored form of the djinn. In Middle Eastern lore, snakes are one of their dominant shape-shifted forms. And so we have that connection there, sort of linking the one kind of ultra or extraterrestrial to the djinn, to a shape-shifted form, to an underground abode that would be considered to be like a parallel dimension to ours.
Yeah, Magonia, borrowing the title of Jacques Vallée's Passport to Magonia, which is, a French version of that otherworld or netherworld that has access points underground. I must add that one of the largest, I think it is actually the largest cavern system in Colorado, overlooks one of the most active portal areas that I personally investigated. So I've always been very intrigued by this subterranean connection. And you even find it in Bigfoot, places where Bigfoot tend to be reported repeatedly also tend to feature subterranean cavern systems. One of the things that I was struck by your book, and I didn't know this when I prior to reading it, is that there, in the Islamic tradition and in the traditional knowledge related to the djinn in the Middle East, there are certain elements and certain tools that tend to somehow exert control over these entities, and one of those is iron. And I found that to be very, very interesting. Scientifically, I think that there may be something to do with iron and magnetic fields, and I think, Phil, you might want to address this. But what is it about iron and the ability to somehow repel djinn or control them with iron?
Iron, special iron that's made from magnetite, no less. Yes, I mean, gin were encased in brass bottles with an iron magnetic mesh around it, keeping the gin neutralized. You know, when there are fishermen in the Middle East, when they put their nets in the Arabian Sea or wherever they are, and they pull up an old bottle, they throw it right back in because they're afraid it might hold a very nasty gin who is imprisoned. So we see this, for example, in paranormal phenomena, for example, shadow people sightings, and Rosemary will probably say a little more about this, is that we found that when people turn on their televisions, they turn on all their lights, and they turn on everything, the paranormal phenomena seems to die down, especially the shadow people. And you have to remember, when you're using all these electrical things like TVs and stuff, you're generating magnetic fields. And it could be that you're repelling these dimensional beings from entering into your reality there. So we go back once again to the legends. And the legends in the mythology of the jinn say they can be contained and controlled by iron, magnetic iron. And today we see that in our modern technology, that when we generate magnetic fields in a home that is experiencing paranormal phenomena, and especially shadow people, the phenomena dies down or disappears.
So like turning on lights or something, just the very act of
and
turning
TVs
on.
And radios and so on.
Right.
How many times we've come across this and heard this, and of course over the years you don't put, you know, two and two together until you once again take the jinn into consideration and put them into the equation of the paranormal.
Right. Another thing that I've noticed, and it's kind of a cross correlation between, you know, a whole plethora of different types of phenomenal events that have been reported down through the ages. One of the things that tends to be, I think, consistent and is a correlation, obviously, is the shape-shifting aspect, but also the plasma aspect. I think that is a very important possible connection point between, let's say, the UFO phenomenon, for instance, some sort of spectral or ghost-type phenomena, and the djinn. Now, let's look at this whole idea of plasma and get into it a little bit deeper in terms of how you can actually use a plasma to transmute, as you gave the example, glass into gold. How can something that has smokeless fire or plasma, how is it able to manipulate matter to such a drastic degree?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that.
Phil, before we do the answer, we got to do the break. Phil Imbrogno and Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank. And it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. And you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge. Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're back with Phil Imbrogno, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast where, Phil, you're saying you're not able to really answer the question that Chris posed.
Well, I could give you some, spiritual, ethereal, whatever you want to answer, but, you know, that doesn't make sense. But the only thing I can tell you is that a plasma can actually interconnect with matter. So unlike human beings that we can't go down and touch individual atoms, a plasma contained by a magnetic field can spindle itself out to actually project part of itself into the very core of the elementary particles that make up matter and rearrange them. And now this may sound like magic, but it's not. But once again, Jin seem to have this ability. But it's something they're not born with. It's something they have the ability to do, but they have to learn how to do it. For example, in order to make gold from lead, let's say, just an example out of the blue, they have to know the exact arrangement of quarks and other elementary particles that make up, a nucleus of gold, to make the gold. They have to have this knowledge. And it seems from what I found out is that from a very early age, like humans, Jin go to a training session, school, so to speak, and they advance as far as they want. And if they keep on learning all their life, they become more powerful, able to do more amazing things. If they stop learning at a certain age, they can do very little. This is why some jinn are more powerful than others. Some of them are more formidable than others. So,
and older.
And older, too. But the older they get, we imagine that the more knowledge they obtain. But that's not always the case in human beings. Yes,
unfortunately.
As you get older, you acquire more knowledge. But with jinn, they're capable of doing much more, and they're not as limited. But you see, we also have an amazing ability to take matter and manipulate it by building things like computers, TVs, automobiles, aircraft. You see, the jinn look at this and our ability, and from what I hear and understand, they find it pretty amazing that human beings have come this far to do this. And, of course, they are a much older race, and human beings are a much younger race. So they're afraid, and one of the fears they have is that one day human beings will evolve more powerful than they are and completely wipe them out, knock them out of the game, so to speak.
And that would probably be due to, you know, accessing and being able to utilize technology, I would think. That
yes,
would probably be
exactly,
something that they would be very fearful of. Here's another interesting thing that you bring up in your book. And towards the end of the book, you talk about portal areas and how they may be a really important sort of litmus test to look at as investigators to see if there's potential djinn activity there. And you bring up the infamous Skinwalker Ranch, you bring up the San Luis Valley, and you also talk about the farm, which you don't actually identify where it is or particulars about its actual location. But Rosemary, evidently for the last couple of years, you've been pretty zeroed in on a particular location-specific area in a rural setting that has just a bewildering array of paranormal phenomena. My question is that bewildering array of phenomena a clue for you to potentially identify djinn activity?
Yes, absolutely. They seem to be most noticeable in these portal areas. Phil and I have been doing substantial research to document the characteristics of portal areas. This case that I call the farm has been ongoing now for a little over a couple of years, and we give it a full chapter in our next book called Multidimensional Portals, which will be out in December, and we introduce it in The Vengeful Djinn. It's in an area that I call the Appalachian Doorway, which actually starts in the Alleghenies in southwestern Pennsylvania, goes down through West Virginia in the Ohio Valley, it spills into Ohio, and even on down into the Brown Mountains of North Carolina. That whole area down there is very active with what I call broad-spectrum paranormal phenomena. That is everything. Mysterious lights, entity contact, UFOs, mysterious creatures, ghosts and poltergeist activity, and I think that it is one of the djinn strongholds in America. And I think that's the case in portal areas around the world. They could exist where there are crossroads or nexus points at ley lines, for example, or when we have the right geophysical configuration with the negative magnetic anomalies and the underground things that we were talking about, the tunnels and the caves and underground water. Djinn seem to like these areas, and there may be something about the natural energy and magnetic energy or absence of it that enables them to pass between worlds with more ease. That seems to be the case with other paranormal entity manifestations as well. Oh, and Bigfoot sightings are big in this area too. So it's like a doorway where a lot of things can come and go. And for djinn, it seems to be easy for them to have this territorial anchor. This seems to be a characteristic of the djinn in these cases. There's a territorial turf-mindedness that manifests when the entity wishes to communicate, I'm older than you are, I've been here a long time, I was here first, this is my place, you're the squatters, and you're not welcome. That message is communicated over and over again in these cases that we've looked into.
Every time you mention that they once had dominion over the earth and now we control it more or less, in some half-hearted fashion, unfortunately, are they not able to basically take control again? Not enough numbers of them? What?
Well, only a faction of them are interested in being aggressive toward human beings. And as Phil mentioned earlier, you know, the djinn come in all stripes, the good, the bad, and the ugly, just like human beings. So in some cases, we may be dealing with either these psychotic djinn or these renegade djinn. the terrorist faction of them. It may also have to do with their ability to manifest for any length of time in our dimension, and that's going to vary literally jinn by individual jinn in terms of their power. We've noticed in these portal area cases where the activity sort of rolls in a roller coaster. It'll crescendo up to a point and then it drops down again. It's like something having to recharge its battery. So it indicates that whatever is present can't act out in intense, extreme ways all the time. It seems to have to regroup. So there's probably a whole lot of factors involved that are dictating the ability of the jinn to make inroads. One of them that I think they're pursuing quite actively is in this phenomenon called shadow people. I think these dark silhouettes who come and visit people in their bedrooms at night looking like tall men wearing coats and hats, they're an unknown entity for the most part, but I think that they're jinn. And I think that they are coming to try and get into our heads or into us, our consciousness, while we're most vulnerable sleeping, and get information from us. It could be biological, neurological, chemical, genetic, even our thought processes. They want information from us that's going to help them become better able to live here.
Well, so there's something here that doesn't let them live here, is what you're saying, and I want to ask more about that because I've become ever curious about that. Maybe we'll even ask questions about jinn society. Do they have presidents? Do they have emperors, empresses, queens, whatever? More stuff like that. The Vengeful Jinn is the book. The authors, Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Philip M. Brogno. I'm Gene Steinberg. Your co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. 346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
A little bit later, we're going to ask your questions, listeners. Chris has been assembling the ones posted in our forums at forum.paracast.com. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. So, Rosemary, that's the kind of question here. What kind of society do the jinn have? Do they have separate tribes, nations, etc.? Do they have some kind of governing body? Policemen to protect against renegades from pulling mischief?
Well, they do have organizations, and actually I'm going to pass that back to Phil because he became very well acquainted with that when he was doing his Middle Eastern travels.
Well, the jinn, you see, they have clans. They have a clan leader. Clan leader is responsible for all the families that belong to the clan. If a jinn in a family gets out of hand, the clan leader is responsible. He has to answer to a jinn king. Now, jinn have courts. They're made up of clan leaders. And if someone gets out of hand, breaks the jinn law, they have to go in front of the clan's courts and sentence is passed upon them in whatever way. But there are renegade jinn. For example, in cases where a jinn, you see, the jinn, one of the reasons why some of them like to infiltrate into a room because they want to experience physical pleasures again. And sometimes a jinn may get out of hand and come into our world and be doing things that he's not supposed to be doing. He's not a renegade. He's not one of these outcasts who are psychotic that were exiled from the jinn community. He's someone who's just curious, but he's breaking the jinn law. And that's not to interact with human beings normally. And the jinn will not give his
prime
name.
Prime directive because, then, right?
Yes, kind of. Like, the jinn will not give his name. It will try to hide who it is because if he find out its name and they find out he's a jinn, you could go and try to contact the clan leader to have him punished. So he won't tell you his name and what clan he belongs to. He'll try to put on this facade about who he is. He could be an extraterrestrial. He could be an angel. He could be a demon or whatever. You know, he could be a childhood fantasy character or whatever. But they do answer to clan leaders. But there is the terrorists of the jinn that we focus in on the ventral jinn. They were characterized as calling themselves the red jinn. Now, these are people who do not follow any clans. They've been exiled from clans. They broke apart. They do not follow any jinn kings or any rules. They are like terrorists. They only follow Iblis. They worship Iblis. They look at Iblis as sort of like a liberator, a freedom fighter who's trying to establish them back into the world where they belong to. And they look at it this way. Suppose you have this beautiful house and beautiful property, And then someone of a higher authority, let's say the government, comes in one day and says, you're out of your house and I'm putting somebody else in there and you're going to live in a smaller place down the road. I mean, you would look back at that house and say, boy, I worked so hard. That's my house and I want it back. You see, this is the mentality as some of these jinn think.
They believe in eminent domain then.
They believe that it's their, it belongs to them. It was originally theirs. And that they want it back, but you see, there seems to be a higher authority, whether you want to call them, you know, ascended beings or whatever, you angels or higher extraterrestrials or higher dimensional beings, whatever you want to call them. They seem to be afraid this is who they have to answer to. So one of the things in Islamic history is that the jinn infiltrate into our world trying to get human beings to destroy themselves so they could be held unaccountable for the destruction of the human race. And once the human race is gone, they can move back in.
Chris, we've been assembling some questions here from our audience at forum.theparacast.com. You have those up?
I do.
Okay, let's start asking your questions, listeners. Now, here's the way it works. When we know in advance, and sometimes we don't know, we book a guest at the last minute. When we know far enough in advance that we're going to be recording a segment with a guest or two guests or more, we will try to post something in the question bank, which is at forum.theparacast.com. That's where you can ask questions of guests, and we ask them, as Chris is going to do right now.
Okay, this one comes from RJ Hark 00. I think he joined last month, actually, to the forum. And he has a very interesting question that may spark, an interesting answer. Have the researchers made a connection between the smokeless fire of the jinn and the burning bush episode in Exodus 3, I think it was chapter 3, verse 1, line 21, the bush that is not consumed by fire? He goes on and puts his own thinking into it and says, I think that the similarity may underscore more widespread folkloric or mythological trope in the Near Eastern religions. There are many indications of volcanic deities being worshipped in ancient northern Arabia and southern Palestine. They may have looked into this already, but I thought it would be worth mentioning. So could the jinn have been responsible in tricking Moses with a burning bush? It sounds kind of plausible, I guess.
Well, we do address that. And the pillar of fire,
right,
and the burning bush. And it seems that the jinn have interacted with the human race throughout time in many different ways. It's very possible that some of these ancient gods that were thought to exist a long time ago in Babylon and Samaria and so on, and some of the Mesopotamia and some of the ancient areas, they could have been jinn.
Okay, you do address that in the book, and that's an interesting question. I think someone is out there thinking on the forums. Here's another one. There is a belief that the incorrect practice or over-practice of various styles of Qigong, or, you know, it's a form of yoga, can induce what has been called, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Zuhorumo, or Qigong, what is the word?
I'm not going to get you out of this jam, Chris, because I do it worse than you would.
Okay, there is a belief that the incorrect practice of Qigong can induce what has been called Qigong disease, which is a form of induced psychosis. And I don't know where Alzo, our questioner, came up with this particular fact, but he said it is rumored to be caused by jinn attaching themselves to the qi created by the inexperienced practitioner, in effect possessing the individual. So in other words, I think the question is, if you are an inexperienced practitioner of a form of energy manipulation like Qigong, could that potentially open you up for possession of a jinn?
Well, the jinn can possess people, and they do so, like Phil mentioned, to experience physical pleasure. And I think that there are various ways the jinn can attach. I'd hesitate to put out an alarm that doing, energy and meditational practices could lead to that. I think there would have to be something else involved for the jinn to latch on. Phil, maybe you have some other thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I know for sure that there are certain meditation techniques used in the Middle East that were thought to attract jinn. And I mean, if you're manipulating energy on a psychic level, it may be like a spotlight or shooting up a flare to attract the jinn to come to you. Now, the jinn do possess people, but they don't enter the body. They attach through the central nervous system. They're afraid of being trapped inside the body. So they can experience everything that the body and the person experiences, but they can be separated from it. And this is how they experience physical pleasure in our world. But, yes, also, by the way, they can get into the body and cause physical illness by breaking down the magnetic field in your body and the electrical system in your body, knocking down your immune system, causing a number of diseases from being more susceptible to viruses to cancer. I mean, this is the danger of, you know, jinn possession. And in the Middle East, by the way, when a jinn possesses somebody, they can't exorcise it. The cleric or the holy man or the expert comes over, the exorcist comes over and deals with the jinn. How long are you going to be in that body? How long will you stay? And the jinn will say, I'll be here 2 weeks and then I'll leave. I just want to experience a lot of different things. And they say, okay, after 2 weeks, you must leave the body. Okay. If he doesn't leave, the next step is they take sticks and they start beating the body and causing physical pain because the jinn can feel it and the jinn will leave. So, you know, this opens up a whole, you know, can of worms as to how the jinn can really affect human beings.
A reminder, if you have a question or comment about the Paracast, write us news@theparacast.com. Once again, that is news@theparacast.com. We read each and every letter we get, guaranteed. We don't know how we're being affected by all this, but our sponsors will be affected if we don't give them a chance. We have Phil Imbrogno, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.